for once again for giving us this opportunity to hear the word. And we have the privilege, O Lord, to obey the word, to speak the word in your authority. We thank you for all your dear children who are here. Thank you, and we welcome you, precious Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And we depend on you totally, completely, to receive revelation, insight, understanding, guidance, and deliverance through the light that you are going to give us. For in your light, we see light. Father, we want to thank you that your Son is your word. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we receive your help and guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we continue the study of God's overcomers, and I want to say again, none of you are here are by accident. You have a specific ministry and a plan and a purpose, and God opened the way for you to come. And I'm going now to say about starting on selection of overcomers. You know, there are the overcoming Christian and a defeated Christian. So how God selects the overcomers. Now, we see a type of a church that we are going to see now, a type of a church and a pastor. And in the book of Joshua, we see the book of Judges, chapter 6. You see, the children of Israel have disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of the Midianites, their enemies. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. The Lord has not changed. He is the same. He does the same thing now. We disobey him, and we open the door for the enemy to come. Demonic spirits, operation, attack. So now the children of Israel were going through a hard time for 7 years. And there was a man named Gideon, and God called him to deliver his people from the Midianites, their enemies. So Gideon was alone one day, and God called him. Judges chapter 6, verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" See, some of us may have asked like this, why these things are happening to me? There are many reasons, not necessarily like the Israelites that you have sinned. But then it's a good question. Why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the, his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Now, Gideon, he was thinking about how the Lord has left them and why the Lord has not done anything regarding their enemies, the Midianites. And his heart was burning. And God saw that. And God came to him. Now, brothers and sisters, Gideon, just an ordinary man. Let's say, I'm going to call him Pastor Gideon. And he received a word from the Lord that he's going to be used by him. Now, there were thousands of people, Israel, joined him. Judges chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the wall of Harod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" Now, since there were too many people with Gideon, and the Lord said, "The people are too many with you. And if I use all of these people, they're going to say, you know, we did a great thing." And moreover, the Lord knows exactly what is inside their hearts. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7 says, "Man looks at the heart, the outside appearance, but God looks at the heart." God looks at the heart. About 32,000 people, men, joined Gideon. So Gideon, Pastor Gideon and his church, they had a membership of 32,000 members, men alone. Well, what about the ladies and the children? Let's say half, another 65, let's say about 70,000. But men alone, 32,000 people said, "Pastor Gideon, we're coming with you against Midianites." Now just get a picture. But God knew exactly who they are. Pastor Gideon did not know. So the Lord has to guide him now and see the correct people are with him before he gives the vision for the fight. Just follow me I'll give some time for you to just think as I finish. Now, people can come to the altar in an altar call and then say many things. But God knows exactly whether they are saying out of their heart or they're just repeating the evangelist or the pastor. They can even shed tears, but God knows why they are shedding the tears. Is it out of repentance? Or because they're crying because their husband is treating them bad? Now, I'm not saying for you to, you know, anybody who is weeping to judge them, no. But I'm saying God knows exactly. Because he sees the heart. We may misjudge you. Eli, the priest, misjudged Hannah. Isn't it? She was weeping and pouring out her heart, and this man thought she was drunk. So we can't judge from outside. I'm coming to the point because God knows everything. So we can say anything. "Oh Lord, I want to serve you. I want to go anywhere you send me, Lord. Lord, I want to do whatever I can to you, to East Toronto. Please, Lord, accept me, receive me. I surrender all." We can say others. But God sees the heart. We can say when pastor is preaching, "Yes, amen, hallelujah, preach." But God knows the heart. Can I have an good amen? Thank you. Hallelujah. God sees the heart. So when, you know, there was a bunch of chaps, you know, those disciples, when the time came during the end of the ministry, and Jesus said, "You know what? I'm going to be delivered into the hands of the evil men. You all will leave me. You will run away." Peter said, "No, I will not." I will not. Matthew chapter 26, 35. Can you take it? Go with me quickly. Matthew chapter 26, verse 35. Here, certain scriptures, you know, I can just go on, but I want your eyes to see. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. You see, many of us stop there, and then our minds, brain is registered. Oh, poor Peter, you never knew about yourself. Now, what about the others? Continue reading. And so said all the disciples, John, James, Nathaniel, Thomas, everyone. And we pointed Peter and put him down. And some of us will have to answer Peter when we get to heaven. All the disciples said, no, we will not leave you. Now come back. Let's jump to verse 56, same chapter. But all, when Jesus was arrested, Jesus was still speaking, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Can you see that? Well, brothers, what is wrong here? Now they said, no, we won't, Lord. No way. Not only Peter, what about us? We will never leave you. But the Lord kept silent because he knew. And this is the same way. All those 32,000 men said, Gideon, pastor, we're coming with you. We're going to be with you wherever you are. We are going to lift up your hand, pastor. And we are going to stand with you, pastor. And we will die with you, pastor. Wait until the time comes. Wait until the trial comes. Wait until the test comes. Brothers and sisters, it's not going to be different for us. And so, the Lord, knowing all these things, he told this man, Pastor Gideon, he said, come over here. I want to say something. Chapter 7, verse 3. Judges. Chapter 7, verse 3. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of people returned and 10,000 remained. 22,000 men went back home. Pastor, Pastor Gideon, I think you have a word of knowledge, you know. I did have fear, you know. But I just didn't want to make you feel bad. I just want to show everyone that I'm also with you. Those 22,000 people joined to show all the others that they are with Pastor Gideon. Are you here? And the moment the Lord gave the barrier, he gave them a dropped a test. Tell those people who are fearful to go home. And can you imagine what time it must have taken for 22,000 to leave Gideon, pastor? And Gideon must have waited. You? What about? I can understand if at least about 1,000 left. So Pastor Gideon, whose eyeballs coming out, is waiting. All of you are leaving. There's only 10,000 remaining now. Brothers, is it any different now? No. When it comes to the battle, when it comes to fasting and praying, when the church is battling, where are the others? Who said, Pastor Gideon, we're coming? I know, I knew that it'll get very silent. But I'm telling the truth. True? Yeah. So Pastor Gideon was left with about 10,000. You see, those people wanted to have a show off outside, but they had fear inside. They were afraid. They were half-hearted. They were not actually willing in their hearts to lay down their lives. to go and deliver those people, to fight for those people. But they had fear, but they just wanted to be with those like Ananias and Sapphira. But they are also giving the money that they sold, the land that they sold. Right, Deuteronomy, keep a finger over there, and then just flip over that side, chapter 20, verse 8. The same thing, you know, when the children of Israel are ready for a war, the Lord said to Moses to tell this, the officers, chapter 20, verse 8, shall speak further to the people and say, what man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of the brethren faint like his heart. See, spirit of fear hops on to the others. It gets infected, you know. Some people are fearful. You know, what about those 10 spies? They came and said, oh, we cannot go there. There's giants over there. And all the people caught that fear. And they wept the whole night. Are you all listening? Yeah. Oh, thank you. See, God sees our heart, brother. Yeah, I can just come and then preach here. But God sees my heart and he will put me to the test. Certainly and most certainly, preachers will go through a very hard test. So think twice before you preach. Or you want to become a preacher. Now, 22,000 men went away and 10,000 decided to stay. You see? And these people seemed like they were taking active part in the church. But they were not. They were not there for the difficult times. They were not there when the church was fasting and praying. You see, they show themselves very spiritual on a Sunday morning. But when Monday morning comes, they are like the world. Until Sunday evening, Saturday evening. And they come on Sunday morning and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you just have a, you know. True? Yes, true. Thank you. Now, if everything is going right in their life, they come. But the weather is bad. Oh, the Lord understands. Especially he understands the weather in Canada. Oh, it's not like in Sri Lanka or Jamaica, you know. The Lord understands how it's freezing minus 15 or minus or plus 2. So they stay back. But there are the others who will come. Snow or no snow. Windstorm or no storm. They come. In the rain and in the hot sun. They say, Lord, when will you pour forth your spirit? When are we going to touch your presence? Those are the people God will choose. Now we are seeing about the selection of the overcomers. Now already God got rid of just one thing he said. And 22,000 left. That's the first separation. 22,000. Brothers, well, addition is also revival. Subtraction is also revival. Oh, yes. Now, there are, you know, that in many churches, there are these showy people who show themselves they're active and spiritual, but they're not. See, don't look at the number of a church. Pastor Gideon's church had 32,000. Don't look at the church. Oh, he must be getting it. Fantastic tithing. Oh, what a church. Don't judge the church by the number. God sees that and then he saw those 22,000 as cowards. Cowards. No strength. No integrity. No faithfulness. They just probably waited for something to get away. And when Joshua said, well, I heard from the Lord that those who are afraid, you know, I mean, you don't have to come. I mean, God understands. No, off they went. Off they went. Now, The balance remained were only about 10,000. Let's continue to read. I do believe that you are receiving the word until now. If you have, if you are, say amen. Right. Now, chapter 7, verse 4. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water. Now. The water I told you is a type of God's word. It's always compared to the word of God. I will sprinkle clean water upon you. And Jesus Christ cleanses the church by the water of the word. See, is a type of God's word. So we need to be soaked in water. We need to be cleansed in water. He said, Gideon, now the second separation I'm going to show you, bring them near the water. In other words, put them in the word test. Put them in the test of the word. Nothing can bypass the word. There is no word, there is no presence of God. For God and his word are one. We cannot say we love the Lord Jesus Christ when we do not love his word. We cannot say that we are fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus when we do not fellowship with the word. When we neglect the word, we neglect the Lord. That is all. Now, the word of God says in Hebrew chapter 4 verse 12, it is sharper than two-edged sword. It enters us into the flesh, it goes into the spirit man. The spirit is there, the soul of the man is there, the will, emotions, and the mind. It divides the spirit and the soul, separates them. Even it enters, the word of God enters the bone and the marrow. Nothing stops the word of God. It reveals the intents, the motives of the heart. As we read the word of God, the Bible begins to read us. Oh yes. No one escapes. That is the mirror of the Lord. We can get convicted and run away, but the Lord will hold us responsible. So the Lord said, Gideon, bring those people remaining into the water. He got rid of the 22,000 bunch even without the water. Just one word, you fearful bunch, get away. See that? Now the rest were put into the water. Brothers and sisters, now God gave them a test, an easy test. Gideon, I'm going to put them to the test, see how they drink the water. You see, God is watching you and me, brother. Even this Bible study, excuse me, even as you listen to this cassette message, how you are hearing, what you are hearing. Jesus said, not only take heed, be careful on what you hear. Yes, he said that. He not only said that, he said, take heed. That means be careful of how you hear. Don't hear it with all false misconceptions, preconceived ideas. No, leave them all alone. Listen to the word of God with an open heart. Oh, loving Lord, what have you got to say to me? I am prepared to unlearn certain things in order to learn the correct thing. God will never teach the proud. He will teach only the humble, David said. Listen carefully. Even as I say these words have the power to come and get any hiding demon to get out of you. Because God and his word are one. God is in his word, and his word is anointed, and he called his word Jesus Christ. So he called those people to the word, to the water. And he told Gideon, allow them to drink.
He said, divide them into two groups decided by how they, the way they drink. Now let's continue. Verse 4, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. Now look at me. There are two ways in Israel people drank water. Now, I should have a hands-free mic to show this. Never mind. Now, the Jews and the Arabs, they drank the water during their journey, leaving the camels to a side, either of the two ways. One way is to stand and bend down, take the water, use your hands like a cup. Are you following me? And you drink that way. With your hands. At the time, they have their luggage, their important documents and the luggage and the weapons of warfare behind them, just like the school kids, they carry their baggages behind. And the unimportant one, the baggage, it'll be with the animal, the camel or whatever, the horse. Are you with me? So this is one way. You bend down and you get the water in your hands and you stand and you drink. The second way is you leave the baggage, remove everything out, and you kneel down and you go and lick the water like a dog. And you keep the mouth in the water, the stream, and you drink from the stream. Are you following me? Now, those who drank by lapping the water from their hands like dogs, that's one group, and those who bent down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. Now, the Lord said, verse 6, the number of those who lapped putting their hand to their mouth, that's the first method, standing, taking the water with their hands and lapping it with their mouths and drinking it to their mouth, was 300 men did that out of 10,000. 9,700 left their baggage, went into the stream, knelt down, and then and they drank that way with their mouth in the stream. And the Lord said, what a test this is. I wondered many times, you know, why the Lord, what a test, a simple one, eh? This is not a 3-hour maths test or a Bible college or something. No. But there is an inner secret for this. All right. And the Lord actually did this to show the urgency and the commitment of the people. Brothers and sisters, the people, the men who knelt down to drink water from the stream with their mouth, the second group, that's 9,700 of them, they were not concerned about the sudden attacks of the enemy. See, you are kneeling down and drinking the water. Anyone can come behind you and attack you and take your baggage and run away with your animal. Are you following this? They were not alert. They were just fools, like baby Christians, not concerned about the enemy who is coming behind. Those babies who were coming at the last line behind Moses is going in front, and the ark is going in front. Everything is going in front. I mean, Moses and the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, and these people, they're taking a very, you know, slow walk, and the Amalekites came and fell on them, attacked them. See, you got to keep your distance. I mean, you got to always get near and near and near. You can't stand still. The path of the righteous is like a shining sun, shines until the noonday. The path, not the stop. Path means that we got to walk. There is a walk. There is a motion involved. All right. So the Lord separated the first ones, 22,000, those fearful ones, and they all left. The second separation is out of the 10,000. He gave the test how they're going to drink the water. And those people who knelt down and drank, and they had to go home because they were not concerned about the enemy. Attacked by the enemy. When we least thought about it at home, maybe in the morning, maybe in the afternoon, maybe just before coming to church, maybe just before on the way inside the car. Oh my God. And we begin to say, what on earth is wrong here? What have I done? Nothing. The enemy waits, brother. He times it. Oh, don't think that they, you know, the Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, he schemes. You and I go to bed after this Bible study, but the enemy is scheming. Hey, they are learning something. We need to do something. How can I now get at so and so? What can we do for this person? Huh? Shall we get somebody to give a nasty phone call? Or shall we work through the husband or through the wife? No, not now. He's meditating. He's meditating. He's getting strong in the word. Not now. Wait until he's weak. Wait until he comes from the office. Maybe he's coming out of the traffic jam and somebody has done something. Somebody, you know, they broke the traffic rules and they... And before he comes, and the children also just crying, and then, you know, the tea is not ready, there is no tiffin to it. And the wife asks, where have you been? What? And that's where it blows off. The fuse goes off there. He knows exactly to plan the attack when. Schemes all day. And we are ignorant of these things. And the Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. And most of the time we are ignorant and fools. And after everything is over, we say, oh Lord, I bind the enemy. What bind now? The damage is done. I am not speaking without experience. Oh yes. Many times. And we need to be alert. And these people were not alert. They were not, you see, they were not concerned about their journey and the short of time. Brothers, we are on a pilgrim. There's a journey we are going through. We have not come to stay here, buy the house, and you know, I'm going to live for another 200 years. That's the way we live. 70 years or a little bit more by the strength of the Lord. What is that compared to eternity? You know, people, they just think, oh, just come to stay here, you know. Oh, yes, I got the citizenship, you know. I got everything. And the time is running out. We brought nothing into this world. We take back nothing. So these people, they were not concerned about their journey, and they were not concerned about the enemy. They were not concerned about the shortage of time. You know, Second Kings chapter 4 verse 29, and you can just make a note of it. I'll just let you know. You know, Elijah, when he sent his servant, I think Gehazi, and he said, don't salute anybody before you go and place this staff over the dead child. Don't talk to anybody because it's urgent. Don't stop. Anybody say, hi, Gehazi, good morning. How's the day? Don't stop. Shortage of time. Do you know the same warning is given for the Christians? Luke chapter 10 verse 4. Watch this. Jesus has not left anything that's very essential for us. Luke 10 chapter 4. Chapter 10 verse 4. This is when they go and proclaim the gospel. What is he saying? Carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals, and greet no one along the road. Don't greet anyone along the road because you are on a business. You are going to pray for somebody before you sit there in an intersection and talk to someone, the person whom you are going to hear the gospel through you, or the person whom you're going to pray, that person may close the eyes and pass off. Quick, do the job. Don't salute anybody. That's why the admonition is there. And these 9,700 who knelt down and then they drank the water, they had no sense of knowledge of urgency of the time. Today, what about brothers and sisters in the church, people? They're having a good time. In fact, they're taking you swim in the water. Oh, I think not only we can drink now, we will just get a swim, you know. Now that we have come, so we will relax and have a chit chat and have something to eat after. And then, you know. No, the time is very urgent. The time is very, very urgent. Very, very urgent. So they were not concerned about those things, and they were eliminated from the rest of the people. They were in a relaxed mood. They were in a comfort zone. Today, I see many Christians, and they say they are born again, and they show like even the other 22,000 who left Pastor Gideon. And they are with the people who pray, and they are with the other functions of the church, but there is no actual spirituality within their hearts. There is no urgency. There is no seriousness. There is no burden. And they are so comfortably sitting. And many, I would say, you know, since I have the Lord has taken me to some of the churches around, you know, when I have preached in, say, New Zealand, in United Kingdom, and in Singapore, some come without the Bible, and some, they just bring the Bible. They don't even open the Bible and then see. And many come without the notebook to take some notes and then go, because you can't retain everything what the preacher says within, say, 45 minutes. No, you can't. They say only about 20% or something like that, you retain out of a person speaks. I have 17. Yeah, that's still less than. So how can we go and think, now wait a minute, what was the Lord speaking to me? No, we can't. Well, the time will be wasted, brothers and sisters. There is a purpose why the Lord has brought you. In fact, let me tell you, you may have just found your time to be present here this evening, but the Lord wanted you to be here. Look at the millions and thousands, then what they're doing this evening in their homes and in the theaters and in watching internet, that rubbish something. But you are chosen to hear the word of God. And what for? Knowledge? No. There is a word. There is a ministry. There is a calling. God is training you. That's why you got to go. You have to go through some problems. No soldier is trained in the bed of roses. You are going to get a very, very hard path. The training is hard, but the rewards are great. The rewards are great. Oh yes, hallelujah. Those people who allow the cross to work in their hearts, death, those are the ones God will use as overcomers for his life to flow out of them. No crucified life, no resurrection life. The resurrection is after crucifixion. Are you with me? God always chooses a remnant of you. He selects them and he trains them. He sees their heart. The Bible says the Lord appeared himself to 500 men after his resurrection. How many? 500. That's what the Bible says. How many turned up in the upper room? 120. What happened to the 380? Oh, probably they were working overtime. Or probably it was snowing. Or what shall we say? Oh, well. Only 120 turned up. But blessed are you, I want to say. The Holy Spirit has brought you to hear his word. Brother, this is our life. This is our life. God has given us his word. What more do we want? The devil trembles at this word. Even Jesus never depended on his experience or even in his position as a son of God. No, he said, devil, it is written. He never changed his method. Second time? No, it is written. What about the third time? Did he say, wait a minute, now I can clap my hands and get down all the angels to slap you? No. He said, it is written. And the devil is already mad, mental case. He must have really, really got irritated and went away. Nothing can stand before the word of God. Hallelujah. You young people, you are so young in your married life, and the others, you have a great door of ministry, great opportunity. One can put 1,000 to flight, but two, 10,000. Two, 10,000. You can go to a house where the demon, the satanic power, the witchcraft is working, and they're about to divide, and you come and tell them, gonna pray for them, and they say, well, it's no use, and you join hands with your wife and you pray. Devil, take your hands off this family in the name of Jesus, and things will begin to happen, brother. And you will wonder, what did the Lord answer that prayer? That's so much authority the Lord has given us. So, these men, they had no sense to know about the urgency of the time, their journey, and they had no knowledge of the attack of the enemy behind them. So God chose those men who stood and drank. You remember, they had to stand and eat while they were leaving Egypt. You remember that? They were not given chairs and sit and have a good dinner. No, they got to have their shoes put on. How many of you remember? And eat that herb, that bitter, whatever. And in a hurry. That shows the urgency of the time. And also that there is a journey. There is a call of God. There is Moses that is waiting over there. That we need to go. The rapture is about to take place. The more we are going to cling to the world, please hear this, the more our heart is clinging to the things of this world, and whatever it may be, you Christian, the less chances of yourself going up. God is not coming for people. For those who are clinging on to the world, He's coming for people. Jesus is coming for people. Those who are waiting eagerly for Him. That's what Hebrews chapter 9 says. Those who are waiting, waiting for Him eagerly. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Come soon. Those are the people. God is waiting to take them off. See, in rapture. Now, Amos chapter 6, 1, he cried out and he said something about those people who are in a comfort zone in a church. You know what a comfort zone is, isn't it? Amos is after Joel and it is before Jonah. Chapter 6, if you find Jonah or Joel or just around it. Chapter 6, verse 1. Woe unto you who are at ease in Zion. Those who are taking their time, those who are taking their own time, right? Yes, it's another Sunday, right? Okay, well, so they just, you know, some people sit as if they are in a cinema theater, you know, and they, you know what they expect most of the time in churches? They psychologically expect the pastor to entertain them, the choir to entertain them with their songs and music. And they sit and listen, oh, sing like another one. Or pastor preach, yes, amen. It's interesting, you know. And there is, brother. Can soldiers be like that? Can any soldier be like that? Oh, yeah. You know, during the battle, the soldiers sleep with their shoes. Now they will be sleeping with the Jews in Middle East where they are gone, or in Afghanistan. They got it because the alarm, the call will come suddenly in the midnight. You can't go in the, what? Where is my socks? Before that, the enemy will boom. You die with the one socks. That's why you got to be ready with the shoes of the gospel. Amen. Somebody comes and asks you, hey, what about your faith? Come on, just tell me. And you say, my faith? Oh, wait a minute now. What Pastor Gray said? Wait, what did he say about Philippines? Wow, wait a minute. What did he say? Oh, he said to lose everything. Huh? What? Press. Oh, like press on. Press on. Where are we going to look at that time when the enemy? He will be laughing. Oh, poor thing, you don't know the scriptures even. You must have it here. The devil comes and somebody comes and takes away the Bible. You said, yeah, take it. Got it all here. Take it. What do you want now? See? That's the place God wants us. That's the place the Lord wants to bring the church now. It is a time of battle, brother. It's a time of war. There is a time of war and there is a time of peace. This is not a time to be at ease in the church. We need to war against the principalities and powers. The enemies are so strong here. The enemy of fornication, the enemy of adultery, the enemy of apathy and all kinds of ease condition. In a comfort zone, the church is in a cold condition. The enemy of witchcraft, breaking families. Witchcraft is number one homebreaker. Is the church doing anything? No. Drug addiction, another enemy. People come in with foreign countries. They say, oh, Canada is wonderful. Like Canada. And they come here. They do not know the enemies will steal. And their children will go into captivity. And they come. Wow. What's happening? You talk another thing, I'm going to smack you. And the child says, you smack me, I'll ring 911. And the father goes inside the jail. They do not know the different kinds of enemies that are here. So brothers and sisters, there is no time to be eased at Zion. Come, when the Lord is proclaiming a fast, when others are fasting and battling in prayer, come and pray. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, appear before us. Let your presence come down, Lord. We are not seeking revival. We are seeking your presence. Your presence will make the difference. We need the presence of God. That's what the Bible says. Repent so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Peter cried 2,000 years ago. Acts chapter 3 verse 19. Repent! Jezebel's spirit don't like this message of repentance. The spirit of witchcraft. He criticizes the preachers, accuses them. Oh, it's too hard, you know. We like soft people. See, the three qualifications in God's selection of overcomers. Number one, you remember the Lord said, these people are too many, and if I deliver them through all these people, and they're going to say, our hand did it, and they won't give glory to me. So number one is, they must glorify God in everything. The Bible says, whatever you do in word and deed, do it all for the glory of God. Give God the glory. Not the denomination, not your church, not the pastor, not the evangelist. Give glory to God. Hallelujah. If anybody is being touched this night, if anyone receives or hears the voice of God, or if anyone has heard the voice of God through my preaching, let me tell you, it is because the Holy Spirit has made you to hear the voice. If not, no. Nobody has any power to make you hear the voice of God. No, it's the Holy Spirit. Paul spoke for many days and near the river, and God opened one lady's heart. Her name is Lydia, and he opened her heart so that what Paul spoke, she received as word of God. It takes the Holy Spirit. No Holy Spirit, no one will hear the voice of God. Jesus Christ is the word of God. Holy Spirit is the voice of God. You need the word and the voice. It's not enough for you to just keep your eyes on the word. No, you must hear also. And hear his strategy and what his plans are. And he will confirm it with the word. Both. The second qualification, you should not be fearful for anything. And the third one, you must allow the cross to deal with yourself to produce death. We are called not only to believe in Jesus Christ, but to suffer for his name's sake. People do not know this. We are called to suffer, not only to believe. Philippians 1:29. You see, the Midianites were defeated inside and outside. So Pastor Gideon went with all those 300 people, and he won the victory. He just slashed them, gave them real defeat by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And he heard the voice of God, what he should do. So Pastor Gideon with his 300 committed men, the overcomers, defeated the Midianites. You see, sometimes when you are like that, you may be even found fault by the others, by the other churches. Listen carefully to this. Pastor Gideon was yelled at by another group. Chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Watch this. So when he won the victory through those 300 men, another group, let's say another church, jumped at them. And they found fault with him. Now the men of Ephraim, chapter 8, said to him, why have you done this to us by not calling us when you went to fight with the Midianites? And they yelled, reprimanded him sharply. So he said to them, what have I done in now comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison with you? Then their anger towards him subsided. When he said that, he said, they came and found fault with him. Hey, Pastor Gideon, why didn't you call us? You went as if you were a great man. with your 300 whatever men. You never even have courtesy to call us. And they were, you know, they were pointing a finger at him. You are an overcomer, you're following the plan of God. Expect all these things. By your own people, they will try to come and find fault with you. Maybe another church, maybe another pastor. Why have you done this? Why are you doing this? But Gideon did everything under the guidance of the Lord. Say amen. And I like this verse, this scripture, Judges chapter 8 verse 4. Watch this. When Gideon came to the Jordan, and he and the 300 men who were with him crossed over, exhausted, tired, but still in pursuit. Hallelujah! Brother, these people were tired. These people were exhausted. And they were, you know, and they were said, oh, so we are so tired. But still, they were continuing to pursue the enemy. You find yourself in a place like that. Oh, Pastor, I'm so tired now. Coming for the Bible study and maybe fasting and praying, only about 4 or 5 turn up. What about the prayer, midweek prayer meeting? I'm so tired. I'm, you know, when I get up in the morning, I don't feel like coming. But yet I come. This is the way. They were tired, but yet pursuing the enemy. They were exhausted. Probably you decided even to stay today. And you said, no, let me go. You are in the group of overcomers. Hallelujah. Yeah. You are in that place. You are in that place. Don't fall back. Don't backslide. Don't listen to your mind. God has chosen you. There is something that the Lord is doing. We may not see it now. But we join together and then pray and attack this enemy of fornication, this enemy of adultery, this enemy of witchcraft, this enemy of all kinds of drug addiction and coldness, enemy of religiosity. The Lord will give us victory, and the doors of heaven shall open, and the Lord will pour forth His Spirit, and things will begin to happen, brother. It will begin to happen. See? So these men who were with him, those 300, they are the overcomers. They are the ones. They never loved the world and loved their lives. John 12:25, Jesus said, he who loves this life shall lose it. But he who hates this life shall keep it for eternal life. Those 300 men did not love this life. They said, Pastor Gideon, we are with you. Let's go. How difficult it must have been for these 300 men. All the other guys, 22,000 left them alone with Pastor. And the church is almost empty. Look at that. 21. 31, that's right. Look at that. And it was so hard, but yet they pursued. And what the scripture says, they were so tired, they were so exhausted, but they were still pursuing the enemy. Are we tired? Yeah, time and again we get tired, we get exhausted. We see things that, oh Lord, why is nothing is happening? And the Lord shows up something and then, you know, he shows deliverances here and there. Because they, and then just we get fired up again. And we like running. Brothers and sisters, God is looking for overcomers. And His selection is those people who hate this life. They're not fearful for anything. And those people who allow the cross to work in their hearts to produce death. And those people who give glory to God. And those are the people who are selected by God. Not that the others are rejected. But there is a difference between an overcoming Christian and a just a Christian who gets defeated most of the time. Who gets the blessing through these overcomers. Would you like to be in the first group of the overcomers, those 300 men with Pastor Gideon? Or with Bless you, Brother Michael.
It's our choice. It's our choice. Jesus said it very clearly. You love this life? I have news for you. You are losing it. He never said, you may lose it. No. He said, you will. You will lose it. You never brought anything with you. You never brought your parents. You never brought your house. You never brought your car. You never brought your wife. And you never brought your children with you. You came empty-handed and you will return empty. So do whatever that you can do for Jesus. Whatever that you can do for Jesus. One life to live, it will soon be passed. Whatever you do for Christ, that will only last. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Father God, let these words sink into the hearts of your people. Let these words, O Lord, bring forth fruit. Let the power of the Holy Spirit continue to work in them. Speak to them in a dream or a vision. Lord, select your overcomers, O Lord. Even the dear ones who have come even today. And these ones who are hearing this message. Stir them up. That they will rise and build the kingdom of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Now we're going to enter a time of worship.